Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Some things we can quickly assimilate. The top five all win. Red cards, confusing handballs, great goals, Luka Modric being a legend, Borja Iglesias finding things to trip over, Valladolid giving up. But some things defy explanation. Why were Espanyol wearing a kit that was stitched together from cast-offs? And what we really have to talk about is Antony. Who said he was ever worth 95 million euros? And has any player ever improved so much on one plane journey? And what were you doing yesterday, Antony? Did you not want to play against Real Madrid? We will pick the bones through his performance and his red card and why... Why? Everything about Antony. I just can't explain anything about Antony. Luckily, Terry Gibson is here. Well, he's there. He's in Barcelona. And as Patreons can see, he's sitting in a hotel wardrobe.
I'm not far off it. It needs must. I've had a terrible internet reception over in my normal position. So I've shuffled across to the other side of the room and using the ironing board up against the door, put the Do Not Disturb sign up. Because if they open the door, this whole podcast is going to come crashing down as they enter. So, yeah, I'm doing my best.
Excellent. More jeopardy than we usually have in the podcast. That the cleaning staff are going to come and cattering through. Yes. Good week for the top club. So, in a sense, it all just knocks us further down the line. But we'll do all those games. But I do want to talk about Antony because, like I say, The transformation is just bizarre. And there are so many contradictory things about him that when you look on, make the mistake of looking on social media and people are always, that proves that United proves. And it doesn't prove anything. It proves that football is weird and people are weird. Yeah. So his part in for Betis with the goal that he sets up for Isco is magnificent. His performance is... You know, he hasn't suddenly transformed into a different player, but we're seeing all the good bits of him are coming out. And then, of course, he gets sent off at the end. Now, when you first see it in real time, you first thought, he's got to go. What's he done? That's an outrage. He can't do that. On closer examination, there's hardly any contact. But I can still see the case for sending him off, to be honest, because he's running by. It's 96th minute. Is it 94th minute?
Yeah.
He's trying to chase down Juan Iglesias and he goes sliding in and you think, oh my, he's going to like do his Achilles or something at this point. The case for sending him off is that even though there's hardly any contact, it's not even a tackle. No. Because he's not making any attempt to play the ball. He's just kicking him, basically.
Yeah. I mean, it ultimately ends up in a trip.
Yeah.
When you look at it closely, I'm like you with the watching it live. It looked an awful challenge and a clear red card. And I'm not surprised that one of the two of the Getafe players lumped in and tried to beat him up afterwards because it was just stupid. But then when you do see it, and he does get caught slightly by Iglesias with an accidental arm. Mm-hmm. And there's a brief sort of the red mist for a few seconds. And that's when he's chasing him and then he slides in. And it's almost he slides in and changes his mind as he's in the middle of making that sliding challenge. And he actually does his best to refrain from what I originally thought was a kick down the back of the calf or the Achilles, to the extent he's trying to avoid contact. But it ultimately ends up in the trip with the right foot with the top of the boot, not the studs. And so whether that can be overturned or not, I don't know. Whether he can be sent off for being stupid, if that was the case, then we'd see a lot more red cards. He looked as if he thought VAR was going to overturn it.
Yeah.
So there was all this big melee afterwards and players pushing and shoving. He was the calmest one out of the lot. Now, his teammates were defending him. Getafe players wanted to get hold of him and strangle him. And he was the calmest one out of the lot, as if to say, look, it's going to be overruled. But VAR didn't intervene, didn't get involved. So it will be interesting to see the outcome. I'm assuming he won't escape a ban. But it was just, what a position. Why put yourself in that position?
Yeah.
I mean, you're winning. You've got a big game coming up, and he's playing the best he's played for years. And as you said, he's rolling the first goal for Isco. Him and Isco, it's... it's not a surprise when you see, a new player turns up at a club and he sees the star player and he knows if you can give him the ball, it makes you look a good player. And the link up with Isco has been really good, and not surprising him. And Isco's still, despite Antony coming in and nicking a few of those man of the match performances, normal service was resumed again last night with Isco getting 2 goals, getting the man of the match award. But you can see him and Isco enjoy playing alongside each other. So it's just bizarre behaviour to even put himself in at risk of making that challenge, getting sent off, and missing a. It's one of the big games of the season for clubs outside that are, no, any
For
team.
everyone,
I mean,
everyone.
for everyone. You've got Real Madrid at home, it's going to be an incredible atmosphere. Betis fans are up for it. They're in a better vein of form. And he's been a big reason why they're doing better. And now he's going to be sitting on the sidelines watching. So it's a blow for him and it's a blow for Betis, to be honest.
He's an enigmatic player, isn't he? I think mercurial is the other word we use, where you can't quite put your finger, you can't pin him down as to how good he is, because he does some things brilliantly and other times not so well. And then he suffered obviously a massive crisis of confidence at Manchester United, where he stopped being able to do anything properly, it seemed, by the end. But I guess it's just a lot of pressure, isn't it? The price tag, the club, Manchester United's position.
Yeah, and he was bought by a manager as well that he thought had trust and faith in him, manager that knew him and wanted him. And then when it all went wrong, he probably felt, not betrayed, that's probably the wrong description, but something along those lines that, well, I thought you wanted me, I thought you liked me as a player, but you're not playing me. Self-esteem goes crashing down and you start to doubt your own ability. And then on top of all that is all the stuff that's written about you, whether it's in the press or social media. And it makes you feel like crap, to be honest. And I mean, I'm lucky, I'm grateful I never had to put up with the social media side of it. It was just, but it made you feel like crap sometimes when you read it in the press or you heard it on the television. So it does run you down to, it can be a form of depression. You lose confidence. Then suddenly you get the opportunity to go and join a club that you probably didn't know too much about. He obviously knew Pellegrini's the manager, blah, 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 but he didn't have a relationship with him. He probably knew some of the players. Then he goes there and the supporters are cheering him on the minute he sets foot off the plane. There's the big reception when he signs. He's only on loan. He's thinking that this is a pleasant surprise. First game he plays at home, there's 50-odd thousand people there singing his name. A manager that's he's clearly going to be a first choice player, which helps him. And he's responded as you would expect. I mean, he looks the type of player, and everyone's different, that likes to be appreciated and likes to be liked. Likes the fact that he's not nervous about playing and making mistakes, and he's just expressing himself. And he's been fun to watch so far. But it wasn't the worst tackle of the weekend, and but it was just a stupid challenge to make. It was a bit brainless, to be honest.
Yeah. So Isco got the 2 goals for Betis. They won 2-1 at Getafe, just to clear this one up. Borja Mayoral, you've been complaining that he doesn't start games. He did start this game and he got 36 touches of the ball. He might as well have come off the bench.
Yeah, I know.
But he still scored.
Yeah, I think Iglesias, the player we're just referring to, that he's a right back playing in midfield. Gené was behind him. On the left side, the midfield, they had one Bernat. They did get more crosses in from the left because Bernat is more attack minded than Iglesias, who was kind of playing between right back and right midfield. So I think it was surprising that they did that. The more crosses they get into the box, the better. The more time Borja Mayoral gets playing, the more match fit and sharp he'll be. He was only playing because Cristian Tasucho was suspended for this one. But I imagine his performance would suggest that Bordalás has to start him from, playing on a regular basis from now. He did get a goal. And he will get goals if we get the deliveries in, get the service in. I mean, him and Wanmi up front is a Getafe, I don't want to be too critical of them. They've been really good. They've got their way out of trouble. But in this particular game, I think they could have got more service into the penalty box and more touches for Borja Mayoral.
Let's move on. Las Palmas nil, Barcelona 2. Barca got this guy called Dani Olmo who came off the bench today. I don't know if you've heard much about him. So.
Is he new? I didn't know he joined the club. But in all seriousness, the subs played a huge part in this. And it was a good game. I mean, Las Palmas can't win a game for love nor money. at this wretched start, long start to the season. Diego Martinez comes in and they start winning every game, and then suddenly they've gone on a run that's very similar to the one that saw them at the start of the season, that certainties to get relegated. So it's a problem for them. But in this game, their performance was really good. And I think via the lead accepted, the rest of the division can provide stiff opposition for the big three. So, you know, Girona are not in the best form, but they played well. You know, Valencia weren't so good against Atletico Madrid. But in this game, Las Palmas, a team that can't get a win, really made Barcelona push for it. Barcelona were hanging on at the end. The subs were really important. Both the goals came from substitutes. And I think Frankie de Jong, his patience on the ball, calmness on the ball, when they were 1-0 up, really stood Barcelona in good stead. It's not always the case. I'm sometimes critical of Frankie de Jong taking too long on the ball, taking too many touches. But in this instance, with his team winning 1-0 and the other team desperate for possession, I thought he came on and run the show, to be honest. So he had an impact from the bench. And the two goal scorers obviously did. Two spectacular goals when they crash off the underside of the bar and bounce up again into the roof of the net. They were the first goals of the weekends that we saw where spectacular finishing was applied. And Barcelona hung on. They got the points. They got the win done. Atleti had just played before them and got their job done. So it was a question of just you know, getting the 3 points. The fixture list is horrendous. It's reminiscent of a few years ago when you look at it. They've got Copa del Rey clashes, Champions League clash between the two Madrid teams. There's a Madrid-Barcelona La Liga fixture coming up as well. So it's making for a really exciting end of the season in the Copa del Rey and La Liga and the Champions League now. So I'm looking at the theory of who's got the strongest squads. Clearly, that's Atletico. Whether Simeone chooses to really use it, he's got two teams there. You know, is he going to really rotate, or is he going to play Griezmann in every game? Is he going to play Julian Alvarez in every game? Is, you know, it's interesting to see how it's going to play out. Because Barcelona and Real Madrid don't have that luxury. Their big stars have to play in every game because they don't have the. Maybe, you know, it's getting better. Alaba coming back for Real Madrid. Barcelona pretty much at full strength. The squad is going to be hugely important, and in this game, I thought three subs came on and really made a difference.
So Barça Atletico play on Tuesday in the Copa del Rey. Atletico won 3-0 at Valencia. Valencia had they had two shots on target. It was a bustling performance from Valencia, as opposed to actually sort of laying a glove on Atletico at any point. Alvarez got the first two goals. I'd love at some point, I don't know how you'd do this, to get the average goal time for Correa's goals in his career.
Yeah.
This something like 88 minutes, wouldn't it, in a game would be.
The average, yeah. No, it was again he comes off the bench. And I thought Valencia were a little bit too passive. It doesn't help when you go one goal down and the pressure's on. This probably isn't the game where they've got to bank on getting points, to be honest. It would have been a nice bonus if they'd managed to get a draw. I think we're still looking at Valencia and with all due respect, thinking they're a decent team. They're not. And this game was beyond them. When they went one goal down, then Atleti were in pole position. And then the criticism I would make was that Valencia got back behind the ball but were too passive. So therefore, one of the goals, Griezmann's cross for Julian Alvarez to head home. Griezmann's got about 6 seconds, 7 seconds. No one's anywhere near him. And he's just outside the penalty box and he's just gets his head up, waits for a bit of movement, and delivers the perfect cross for Julian Alvarez. My worry would be Mamardashvili's not making the saves that he used to make. So I, you know, he's a loss of form. That could be really important for Valencia because, you know, he's kept them in games. But there was a couple of goals there. I thought maybe he could have done better on that one. Correa's goal. I thought he didn't really make a good attempt at that. And Julian Alvarez's header was a weak header. Might have wrong-footed the goal, Mamardashvili, because it didn't have any power on it, and it was down into the ground, and it might have been a little bit difficult. But I think in the past we've seen Mamardashvili pull off that type of save. So it's up and down for Valencia at the moment. I think that if they're positive about their approach, they can win, you know, four or five of the games remaining. That might just be enough. When you consider how many wins those teams at the bottom have had, it sounds a bit daft with 13 games to go that you're saying if you win four or five of those, you're safe. But I think that is the case.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean we'll come to the relegation battle in more detail, but my recollection is of teams at the bottom doing well at the end of the season.
Yeah, it does
When,
happen. Yeah.
yeah, depends how many are in the relegation battle, because obviously you need, who do you get those points from? It's got to be from someone who's not playing for their lives in the same
Yeah.
way. Obviously, back in the day, they had this weird thing where they used to sort of bribe each other to not
To
play
try
properly.
hard. Or to
Yeah.
know
So,
to try hard.
or yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. That's it. So it was that the decent thing to do would be to play soft against a relegation threatened team, and so other teams would then play, would pay them to play
Not to,
properly against a relegation threatened team, and it was
It was
and
profitable for a number of mid-table teams for so many years. That if you were safe with four games to go and not a lot, you couldn't get into Europe and you were mid-table and you were playing a team that was down in the relegation battle, other clubs would pay those players to work hard and give them a bonus if they were to win a game they're expected to win. That was bonkers. It
Yes.
really was.
And it's
And
not that distant a past either, is it?
no, no, 10 years ago.
So,
It's not that it's not ancient history by any means.
So I need probably need to stand it up. You'll have to look and see. Have the teams at the bottom end, are they still getting the same number of points at the end of the season as they were? Is that still a phenomenon? Because there's a case for it, for if you're once you desperately play for your future,
Yeah.
you play better, don't you? I saw someone say an interesting thing about there's some analysis of, oh, Liverpool were doing it, about players in the last year of their contract outperform the other years of their contract sometimes. The Mark Viduka
Yeah.
effect for older listeners,
Yeah.
and so there is a case that sometimes you sort of give it a go towards the end of the season. So maybe there's that. Anyway, we'll get to the relegation battle because we need to talk about. Let's talk about Real Madrid. I mean, a standard win against Girona.
Yeah,
It's
I think
kind of when
so.
they would have wanted
Yeah.
after their standard win against Manchester City in the Champions League in midweek, where it wasn't that exciting. Rather like City's match at the weekend wasn't that exciting. They just were clearly worse. So, which leaves us obviously with Bellingham suspended. Luka Modric had to start. Of all the many, we're in the Luka Modric fan club on this podcast. I don't really remember him scoring a goal like that before.
No, I think they have been, but we normally associated that type of goal with Toni Kroos, for instance, long range, or Fede Valverde. And in this game, Real Madrid made hard work of it. Modric scores on the 40th, around the 40-minute mark. Frustration was creeping in. I think Real Madrid were wasteful in terms of their attacking play. Girona are a complicated team. They're a complicated team to play against, and they're a complicated team to co-commentate on. Because you're looking at the system and you're going, oh, yeah, because it looks like three at the back and the team's named. Then you're thinking, they're one of those where you go, oh, no, Daily Blind's now left back. Gutierrez has pushed into central midfield. No, oh, now Martinez is now right back. No, he's right wing back. Oh, no, and now he's central midfield. Where's Donny van de Beek playing? Where's Danjuma playing? Sigankov was pretty much wide on the right. They're a really confusing team. And I'm looking around at the players, and there's a lot of pointing going on, and there's a lot of Daily Blind saying to Miguel Gutierrez, I need some help over here, mate. You're playing in central midfield, but you're a left back, stroke left wing back. I'm being left on my own out here with, two or three different players that are ganging up on me. I don't think Girona made the most of Lucas Vasquez playing right back. They didn't attack down that flank. When they did, it looked threatening. They keep the ball well, they pass the ball well. The feature of Girona last season was how many players they got in the penalty box, home and away, to score goals. In this match, when they attacked, for large parts of the game, there was no one in the box. And then Miofsky came on, and he was the only one in the box. So I'm slightly baffled, as you know. I know it's difficult for Michel, and I know it's difficult for Girona, and they exceeded all expectations last season, but they did have a style of play that they've kind of lost their identity, as well as losing 40 goals from Dobbyk and Savio and Sigankov not scoring this year. It's a game that Real Madrid should have won more comfortably because although Girona had good possession and some promising moments, they never looked like scoring. But Real Madrid, I thought, were guilty of wasting good opportunities, good situations. And if Modric hadn't scored before half time, the frustration would have built in the second half because, it's going to, what we have now with the league title races, Atleti played first, they win, Barcelona have to win, then on Sunday, it's down to Real Madrid. They have to keep the pace. They can't drop off. So we're going to have that advantage, disadvantage of who plays first and who plays last during the next few weeks, why it's the title race is so tight. So there was pressure on Real Madrid when until Modric scores. And then when Modric scores, as I said, from then on, there was no doubt. I never saw a comeback coming from Girona because I just didn't see them scoring a goal.
Are you? I've asked you this before about Michel. Are you moving on if you're Michel this summer?
I think so. If the right opportunity comes along, I do. I think that I think there is potential there still. But I think it's I don't think it would have been the best thing in the world if somehow. I mean, they're in that group of teams for European football, but I don't think it would be ideal for them to if they was to qualify for European football. I think they need to regroup and come up with a plan. The players they signed in the past were more successful than the ones they've signed recently. Krejci looks good. I think he's the one. Krejci looks really good. I mean, he's an example where he was charging about all over the place, putting out fires left, right, and centre because there seemed to be a lack of a structure that the players understood from Michel, whereas the ones last year understood the system they played. And Miguel Gutierrez was outstanding in that system. But they were never found wanting defensively. At the moment, I'm seeing them. It looks a bit too confusing for the players he has in the squad at the moment, too complicated for them to be able to deal with. And then Richard run a full.
And for the amount of change that was forced upon them, it's hard, isn't it, to do complicated. Sometimes the old keep it simple thing
I mean,
works,
you lost
particularly
Daniel
with a lot of change of players.
Savinho, Alex Garcia, and Eric Garcia was great for them last season. So that's, Dobbyk 24 goals. I think Savinho was 9. Sigankov got 8, but he's only got 1 this season. Top scorers, Stuani and Abel Ruiz this season with 4. So there are a number of players that haven't. Asprilla looks a potentially a good player. Danjuma hasn't come up with the goods really, been in and out of the team. Aurier Romeo doesn't have the same mobility as the midfield players they've had in the last couple of years. And Yangel Herrera being suspended at the weekend didn't help them. So it's a wretched period for Girona at the moment.
Performance of the weekend in La Liga has been Athletic Club 7-7 against Valladolid. Now, against Valladolid, who started to give the impression that they've got somewhere better to be, including the second division.
It's a mess. It's a real mess, isn't it? It really is. I mean, it wasn't until about Thursday that they made the change. I watched the game in full against Sevilla last week. No, actually, I didn't. I'm not going to lie. I watched about half an hour. For the first 10 minutes in that game last week, Valladolid never made a tackle, never kept the ball. They barely touched it. They were so passive, it was ridiculous. Sevilla couldn't believe their luck. And that ended up 4-0. The manager, Diego Coco, gets the sack. And I'm not surprised when I see it. There was 5 new players in that team against Sevilla playing either their second or third game. And yet they seemed totally affected by the whole situation. You'd imagine if you got half a new team in, they're not going to be lacking confidence because they're bottom of the league. They shouldn't. It's not their business. But they are. And then this week, Alvaro Rubio takes over again as caretaker, axes 4 of those 5, as if to say, it's your fault. And yet the players he trusts and he has faith in and the ones that he knows let them down again. It was exactly the same start. They conceded after 9 minutes. It could have been 3-0 by then. So if you're going to start games off by not making any tackles, not running around, not marking people, not tracking runners, you're asking for trouble. So when Jarraquizal gets the first goal after 9 minutes, I knew exactly how this game was going to go because it was shooting practice for Athletic Club and it looks like they've been doing shooting practice all week. Some of the goals was it was incredible attempts at goal.
They're a club that at times frustrate with because they play lovely football, and often you sort of get to the end of the game and sort of win it 1-0 or something. You know? So I find them quite frustrating to watch. But on this occasion, everything was flying in, including the, and this is the one where there was a lot of talk about Nico Williams, obviously last summer. If you watch, if you're a scout and you watch this performance, you'd be saying, "Oh, I'll pay anything for him because you know,
I still
magnificent
would.
goals."
I still would. I mean, he's just had a disrupted season. He's young, come off the back of the Euros, talking about Barcelona. Barcelona is getting trying to sell Rafinha. It's weird how the season has worked out. Nico has been introduced. He was introduced slowly back into the team after the Euros. That might have been a mistake, you know, trying to make sure that he's fit and able for the season, that you don't overplay him. Then he's picked up various injuries along the way. And it's always a pleasure to see him back in the team. They're a much better team with him and his brother playing down the flanks. And then Sanchez, who's just having the most outstanding season so far in his career. But Nico, the goals were their own goal of the season tournament in one game. It was ridiculous. The finishing was, we've had some really good finishing. Two at Barcelona were spectacular goals. Modric's goal was spectacular. Zakarian's scored a great goal as well in his match in this game. Reguizal was a good goal, but it pales
So,
in
which was the
comparison.
best? So, Nico
Right, so
Williams'
we got
dribble
Nico's
goal.
Tabofery goals.
Yeah.
The John Barnes from the Maracana Stadium goal for our older viewers, it was very similar to that. That was a brilliant goal. I think it's four players he takes out. Everyone puts a goalkeeper at the end of it. That was a brilliant goal. His second goal was a brilliant goal as well. It has to be Santi.
The volley.
Yeah. The slightly cuts across it, the outside of the boot in the near post. It's on the volley. I think that just pips Modric's goal as well in
And it
terms of
was very nearly
skill.
eight, which would have been the best of the lot, wouldn't it?
Oh,
Iñaki's
yeah.
shot at the end. So he's out. Explain it to me.
It
He's out on the right wing,
was a
isn't he?
crossfield pass on to him on the right wing, and he just, well, he whacks it, but he kind of opens his foot up and side foots it as well. And it crashes off the bar. That would have been the best. It would have been an outrageous goal. Outrageous for even trying it, but when you're 7-1 up, you've scored a good goal, and your team are thrashing the opposition. Interesting, really enjoyable footage after the game of him and his brother arguing about it. A brotherly argument saying Nico accusing him of what was you doing? It was a cross. And Iñaki saying, on our mum's life, I swear it was a shot. And they're both laughing, and Uribe gets caught up in the middle of them. But no, you know, the memories of Athletic Bilbao not long ago, they've changed now. I mean, I still have flashbacks to them. Fighting hard, getting the ball forward, being direct. You hope that Iñaki scores a goal, but the feature was getting the ball up to Raúl García to hustle and bustle, and this midfield player that turned into a big centre forward at Athletic Club, and they maybe nick a win 1-0. They've gone now. I mean, Guruzeta's come in, Sanadi comes in and looks half decent at the moment. Only second game, he looks an asset to the club. You know, strange where his career is ending up. Finally getting the chance to play for Valverde's team. And Santa is in the form of his life. You've got Berenguer as backup, a whole host of hard-working technical midfield players that lend themselves to the position that Santa plays. I was asked on La Liga TV, where is he? Is he a midfielder? Is he a striker? I think he's doing better than him. And I think that maybe Valverde's looked and thought, we could have one of those. We've got one of those. We've got a player that can play with a little bit of freedom off the front. And he can, an end product. You know, those number 10s that have loads of nice touches, playing the little pockets of space, don't score goals, don't make goals, that look good, are easy on the eye. You have to have some substance to your game now. Bellingham has showed that. And I think Sanchez is. It's, I mean, his volley was spectacular. Guruzeta, he didn't have to thrash these into the roof of the net in the power that he did, but it was just, they were just lashing it in. It was that spectacular game against feeble opponents. A bottom of 15 points, scored 15 goals. Alvaro Rubio after the game wouldn't inspire me to make a comeback. And 8 points away from safety with 13 games to go, it's not impossible. But I don't see where the inspiration is going to be coming from.
Yeah, when you look at them, you think, oh no, there's no chances there.
And do you know what, John? I look at their squad and I think that's not bad. He's not bad. He's good. He's decent. He's decent. He's decent. You can cobble together a squad of players there that can be competitive and should be doing better than what they are. So is it beyond them? Probably. They just look as if they've given up, to be
Yeah.
honest.
Villarreal's upturn in form in the new year has been impressive, hasn't it? Really good result for them away to Rayo Vallecano, who we have been very complimentary about in recent weeks. I suppose a red card for Jorge de Frutos late in the first half was pivotal, wasn't it, I guess?
And Anissi Pella's on going off injured as well. He's been outstanding this season. Recovered from a poor season the year before. And Anissi Pella just continues to, it's beyond belief is how he's, I mean, we always thought he was a good player, could get a goal or two. But he's averaging a goal every 98 minutes. He's missed a lot of football this year. He's had 11 starts, 11 goals. 98 minutes average per goal. It's so he was decisive in this one. It was a run-of-the-mill goal, crossing the box, header. But he was, he's been so decisive for Vieira. And that's a big win for Vieira. And they're trying to keep the pace with Athletic Club, who are 4 points above them. Signs are looking good, I have to say, for the extra position in the Champions League. I think the Italian team's going out, and the Champions League does help La Liga and the Premier League. So Villarreal in there fighting with Athletic for top four, but it may be that fifth place gets you a Champions League spot.
Yeah, so we haven't talked about the Champions League draw, have we? So a Madrid derby in the Champions League, which is a
Yeah.
mouth-watering one. I mean, you can't. I can't call it.
No.
I'm looking forward to it. They play to the lots, so so.
There'll be two tight games. And if there's anyone that can knock out everyone's favourites, not in terms of their favourite team, but you can't ignore Real Madrid being favourites for the Champions League because it's a tournament they win on a far too regular basis compared to everyone else. But if there's anyone can stop them, particularly in two legs, over two legs, it's Atleti. So I think, yeah, it's a tough one to call. And Atleti got some tough games. I mean, they're playing Barcelona two legs in the Copa del Rey. They got Barcelona in a league match in a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks' time as well. So the squads are going to be tested to the hilt. I do love this time of the year. I've always talked about being in a position to challenge in as many competitions as you can. David Alaba coming back is a big bonus for Ancelotti. As I say, Barcelona are pretty much fully fit. And Atleti have two teams. So it's, yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
exciting time for Spanish teams.
Barca have got Benfica, and I'm all for another round of that.
Yeah,
Barcelona
ridiculous game.
Benfica,
Yeah. So that's, and I think Barcelona do have the slightly easier half of the draw. I'm not a fan of the draws being done. I just do the draw and then this last 16, then do the draw for the last eight, then do the draw for the last 12 rather than
I don't see
a
why you need to know.
tennis-style tournament. We don't need to know. And the draw takes 10 minutes. We don't make a big song and dance and flying people from all over Europe into Switzerland to
I
sit
guess
there
it's
and watch a
that. It's
draw.
because you make such a
Just
song
do
and
it.
dance of it. You feel
Yeah.
you have to. You can't get them all back again to do another 10-minute draw. But just
Exactly.
don't. So don't do the big deal.
Yeah.
Totally
Because
different
there
in.
must be teams that are disheartened by you get a draw and you go, oh, well, even if we beat them, but look who we got next. What's the point?
Different
We're
to
not going
World
to get to the
Cups.
final.
Different to World Cups and Euros, isn't it? Because
Yeah.
you need the
The planning.
logistics for that. So,
Yeah.
but the logistics for these are easy because you just
Yeah.
play at your home stadium. So there's no, you don't need to
Exactly.
know in advance.
And it can be done the day after the. So as soon as the last 16, the next day on the Thursday after it's done, bang, 20 minutes, do another draw. So, but I think allegedly Barcelona do have the easier half of the draw. So it's all the games are going to be tough and competitive now, but this run of fixtures between the clubs in La Liga fighting out at the top of the table are ridiculous. They really
Real
are.
Sociedad have Manchester United in the European competition, which will be interesting. They got a 3-0 win against Leganés. Zakariyan, as you mentioned in the list of spectacular goal scorers, it's good to see, isn't it? Because he was a player, he was
Yeah.
highly rated, sort of wonder kid kind of player, and injury hit. So this was actually his first start of the season, wasn't it? So
Yeah.
such it's like. Old cliche, new signing if they get him fully fit.
Totally. And you know what was impressive? He had about four or five really good attempts at a goal. Scores a great one. And they were right foot, they were left foot. And you look at someone like that, they've lacked inspiration in the midfield departments in terms of being creative or goal scoring. They've missed Mikel Merino, there's no doubt about that. Bryce Mendes hasn't had the season that Alguacil would have hoped for. So Zacharian coming in, and Sučić is injured as well. So I think Sučić and Zacharian completely changed the midfield for Real Sociedad. You see Zubimendi behind those two, it takes in a different team. So Real Sociedad are a bit of an enigma at the moment. They're struggling in La Liga. They get a good win here. They're struggling in La Liga. They're the only team outside of the top three in the Copa del Rey. And they've got Manchester United in the Europa League. So whilst we've been critical of them this season because they're lack of goals, maybe things are just coming together at the right time. And, we do, hopefully we will get to see the quality that we all believe they have. So it's probably not time to judge Real Sociedad at the moment. They won last night and it takes them racing up the table into eighth position because of the sheer nature of so many teams. I think there's nine teams within 5 points of each other. And so you can jump, Betis jumped up three or four places on the back of getting the win. So it's good in terms of we've got the title race, we've got the European race, you've got mid-table where it's so many teams that could still believe they think they could get into
But
Europe.
they're all in their little silo, aren't they? You've got these
Yeah.
really tight races. I think this has happened before in recent seasons, hasn't it? But there's no prospect of someone coming from that seventh to winning the league because they're miles behind.
No.
But
Yeah.
the battles, and it works, doesn't it? Because
Yeah. And I think we got about half dozen in the relegation battle. And then above that, they all think they can get into Europe. I mean, Getafe lost this weekend, but going into the weekend, you're thinking, well, they're not a million miles away from a European spot, Getafe. And literally a week ago, we were talking about relegation.
So Espanyol moved up to 15th with a win at Alaves. They had created almost nothing, did they? And then they got a
Yeah.
winner in the 86th minute. Alaves must be kicking themselves about this game.
And Caudette's under pressure. I mean, he didn't help himself. He came out. It was quite refreshing, actually. He was talking about the ball's decision. It was just the sheer fact he was referring to, they've got a decision to make, tells you the story about Alaves. And we refer back to why did they sack Luis Garcia Plaza? They should have had more faith. I have checked. It is possible for him to come back and be the coach. You can't manage a different team. You can manage the one you've been sacked from.
It
It's
happened. Villarreal did it a few years ago, didn't
yeah.
they?
So I think it's the fact Caudette is saying they've got a decision to make suggests that the nature of losing this match in the 85th minute, some of the, I mean, I feel for Caudette because it's not his fault that his team abandoned any defending from a set piece. It was bizarre because initially you see it and you go, well, how did that happen? There's a packed penalty box and Calero was totally unmarked. And Leandro Cabrera was behind him. If Calero didn't head it and score, Cabrera would have done. So you've got literally two of the biggest targets from a set piece. No one anywhere near them. The defenders were running out. I think the two that I'm looking at, Kike Garcia was definitely one of them. He fails to pick up his man. He was marking Cabrera. And I think Villalibre was the other one marking Calero. And they both abandoned their position. And so that's not the manager's. I'm saying it's not the manager's fault. Yeah, a manager can't be out there. I'm sure it's all set up and organised prior to a set piece, before the game and stuff. And then players abandon the duty that they're given. Then it's tough on the manager. But I'm intrigued now to see what happens at Alaves. Espanyol first away win the season, and Manolo Gonzalez, plenty of heart, plenty of emotion. Wears his heart on his sleeve. And his team are making a real good attempt at staying up.
Am I right about those kits? What is going on with that
It's
kit?
weird, isn't it? It's going to be iconic in the fact that it's so bad that people are going to remember it. There's bits of stuff going on all over the place, isn't there? It's got three kits sewn into one. And you explained to me it's the fourth choice kit. I've seen it before
Well,
this season.
I was looking up. What is it? Does it mean something? Why are they wearing this horrible thing? But
It
no,
didn't
it's
even
just a.
look that much different to Alaves, blue and white, against blue, white, and red of Espanyol. I know they couldn't wear their blue and white shirts, but if it's their fourth kit, I'm sure a second and third kit.
Well, they've
Would have
got a
been
black
more
kit.
appropriate, but they're just,
Yeah.
we're wearing this daft kit because it's going to be talked about in years to
Yeah,
come.
I guess so. One more game. Obviously, the Sevilla Mallorca.
Apologies if there is a particular reason why they're wearing
Yes. If
that
it
kit,
turns out there's
just in
some
case
heart.
we're being
Yes,
insensitive and
true. Fair
it's some
point.
sort of
Some kind of
foundation
emotional reason
charity
why they
or
have to. Yeah,
we do apologize, but other than that, we're just looking at and thinking, stupid kit.
Quickly think of a reason why, some heart-wrenching reason why you had to wear that kit. Which leaves us one just heart-wrenching case with Borja Iglesias, Terry, who has this issue of keeping his feet. His balance is
Thought it was
gone. He
just
keeps.
me. He looks like a stump double. He's just throwing himself into. And do you know what's annoying me? I've been on this roller coaster of emotion with Borja Iglesias throughout his whole career. He's good, he's bad, to the point now where he's always irritating me because of that, because you concede as a player there. But he's irritating me more than ever now because his only contribution in this Celta Vigo team are really good. Transfer window, I said they could be in trouble. I didn't know how good their young players were. I really like the look of Fer Lopes. They've got young players and the right manager. I think they're going down the Real Sociedad train of thought, where they brought in a manager from the B team that knew the young players, like Real Sociedad did with Alguacil, as opposed to bringing in an outsider that, is only there for the present. He's not interested in the young players. He's not going to be there 2 years, let alone, build a future. And I think Celta have gone down that route, and it's working. I like the manager, and he has faith in the young players. Borja Iglesias is not the player for that young group of talent, and they need someone who contributes more than, throwing himself. The penalty against Osasuna, he's not going for the ball. I don't think it's a foul. He just throws himself in front of someone that's making an attempt to clear the ball in a hope that there is a. He's not trying to control the ball. He's not trying to get to ball first. He literally is just throwing himself like a crash test dummy in front of someone that's just hoping the referee buys it. And he did. And it's 2 weeks on the trot that he's done it. So if I was a referee, I'd be looking at that now. And I'm sure they do. I'm sure they say, no, we don't. I'm sure they do. If 2 weeks on the trot. His only
Yeah.
contribution, he's not contributed anything else. He's missing in action in terms of open play. But if it comes to earning a penalty, and there was talk about, oh, Aspas does it again. He took a penalty and scored. I mean, it's he came on, he passed to Borja Iglesias, or in the direction of Borja Iglesias. He'd only been on a minute or so. He had the balls to stand up and take the penalty, as you'd expect Diogo Aspas to do. But it was a good win for Celta. It could have gone the other way. Osasuna was slightly unfortunate. They don't score enough goals away from home. They don't have enough goal scorers other than Budimir. But they're doing okay. But I thought it was just me, my personal irritation with Borja Iglesias. But the
Yes.
fact that you agreed that you thought he was trying to find contact
Yeah.
suggests to me that I'm not wrong.
Stumbling around, no, very much not.
Well,
Stumbling around into
the
things
one
the whole
against
time.
Atletico, he just got a touch on the foot, didn't he? And just collapsed. There's no way you're bringing him down with Lenormand touching the outside of his foot.
What he's
He
doing,
picked the ball up and
he's
said to the players,
exposing.
oh, it's a penalty. He
Yeah.
gave it.
He's
Not only did
exposing
he.
VAR. And the
Exactly.
problems with VAR
That's
is
exactly.
cynically, but it does mean that he's obviously thinking about it when he's out
Yeah.
there. And like you
Yeah.
say, should be
Yeah.
contributing a normal game of football,
He did
not
it.
just.
He had another attempt in this game, Cantona.
Yeah.
Alejandro Cantona. They were running together, and Borja ran at him and went down holding his nose. And when you see the replay, it's a shoulder to shoulder contact. It's off the ball. I think it must be a long ball forward, or the ball's been cleared. And it just runs at Cantona and barges into him and goes down holding his nose, conveniently in the penalty area. The referee doesn't buy it on this occasion. And you got Borja holding his nose. And I thought, oh, fair enough. He must have broken his nose. He's on the floor for ages and he's one of those looking for blood. And when he gets up, there's no blood. And then when you see the replay, you think, look, he didn't touch your nose. You ran directly straight at him and threw yourself on the floor.
I suppose we need an absolute shithouse playing in La Liga at times. Misrael
He's
Garcia.
turned. He didn't used to be like that, but I just
No.
think, as you said, he's cottoned on to the fact that the one against Atleti, there's contact on his foot. He flops to the floor, picks the ball up. He stopped the game. And he says to the players, "Oh, it's a penalty." When VAR sees it, yeah, it's going to be a penalty. And he was right. It was like, "Oh, you've given that, have you?" So that's his contribution at the moment. Big win for Celta. They are safe now. My concern was they got rid of six or seven first team players in the transfer window, and they were left with all these young players. But I love what I'm seeing from them now, particularly at home. I mean, it's and long term, it's going to be an issue. They have to do better away from home, but they're safe and
Yeah, they're up
enjoying
to
life. And
10th,
yeah.
10th now, aren't they? Yes, right. Well, so as I say, Siltacom Sevilla Mallorca, which Terry will be, you'll be watching with interest this evening, Terry. And then we've got the Copa del Rey. So Tuesday night is Barca Atletico, and then Wednesday night, Real Sociedad versus Real Madrid.
Yep.
Sort of thrilling on a knife edge, and then we only have to wait for 6 weeks for the second legs. So
Oh, is that what it is?
it's
It's
April.
on
It's
Premier Sports, isn't it, in the UK?
oh, is it? Oh, right.
Premier
Okay.
Sports have got the rights, yeah.
Oh, good, good. So right, at least good. They need decent co-coms on it, but there we are. It would be nice, wouldn't it? First and second of April, the second legs. So yeah, so five
That
weeks. Yeah, exciting
type of
race.
is the time of the year, isn't it, where the games are crashing around in
Just make it
Europe and
one.
stuff?
Just do
And
one leg.
yeah.
Honestly, just do one leg and then
Yeah.
done. And then play the final in April. Anyway, there we are. So we'll be back with some stuff with Patreons for have a look at the Copa del Rey. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we will see you soon.